Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
Hi, I'm Joe.
Hi, I'm Matthew.
And this week, we've watched Sons and Daughters. And now we're going to argue about whether it'll make us quit Star Trek.
I'm so glad that I've come back just in time for the Manipulative Fathers for the Win episode. It really was putting great, great representation for shitty dads.
We got double deadbeat dad treatment.
We have Ducat, we have Worf, true icons in their field.
Thanks, guys. You know, Olivia's been away for a month, and we know we must thank third podcast host Genevieve for covering for that time.
Genevieve, you legend and icon. I love you.
But you're back. You survived just in time for Deadbeat Dad Wartime Edition.
I'm proud of how bad they are.
I think they are too.
Yeah, Worf has nothing to say about abandoning his son for 5 years.
And no apology for it either.
It was just like the kid had bad vibes. I don't know what you want me to say.
Yes. No, I remember that tweet. There was a tweet where someone was like, my child is kind of bad vibes. And they were really trying to justify it. And I was like, this is Worf. That is Worf.
They're like, why do we bash deadbeat dads when sometimes kids just have bad vibes?
Yeah.
I feel like that was about Alexander.
You see, if Worf was a 19th century Victorian, he would send his kid to boarding school and it would have been socially acceptable to be a deadbeat dad because his son grows up to be an emotionally abusive imperialist and presumably defined in Klingon culture.
Poor Worf and Alexander born in the wrong century.
Too late to, you know, just...
Wait, I need to establish the timeline. So when he abandoned son, at what age? Like, it was like immediately almost. He wasn't going to be a warrior.
There is it. He's like... Far, he's like
five or six.
It's yeah. Like
five,
a toddler.
Six-ish.
Okay. Practically a toddler.
He's played about 18-year-old, so Worf looks less like a deadbeat. He was born in 2366, which makes him...
I don't know timelines. I have which no makes idea when he's set.
Nine.
He was nine when he was abandoned.
No, he was nine this episode.
What?
we never learn how quick
he's nine?
Age? So presumably he's nine in Earth's years and not in Klingons.
Bro abandoned his like newborn and said he's not a warrior.
Basically. But it's even worse, like the first abandonment was Kit's mom died, and Worf is like, look at her, now go and fuck off out of my sight. And then Alexander comes back, and then I think, you know, towards the end of TNG, they have an episode together. And then that's it. That's the last that we hear of him. And then I guess Worf sent Alexander back to Russia again. And then he pops up now and he's 9 years old.
Okay, that does make sense because one of the other people that were with him did look 10. Like there was a girl.
Gabriel Union.
Girl who looked very young.
Yeah, Gabriel Union.
What, that was Gabriel Union?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's nice.
I was like, I wonder how that girl's doing.
Doing just wonderful. Okay.
Olivia, it's too early to be fruity on the podcast. We'll save that for later.
It's never too early. Are we going to get into some Star Trek background first?
Yeah, because I'm trying to have a segue to that, but I'm still depressed by thinking about how bad a dad Worf is. So, yeah, I can't be asked a segue. How did you guys get into Star Trek?
I'm sure Matthew can provide more context. He's the older sibling, but we started watching Star Trek when we were kids. We didn't have... cable or TV growing up, and so we had friends record episodes of Star Trek on a VHS tapes, and then we would watch them on a delay on a very far delay after they came out. And yeah, we started off with TNG because we were talking about different episodes of TNG yesterday, and I remember seeing some of them live, which would have made me like 6 years old or whatever. And then DS9 was a lot stronger in my memory because we were a little bit older. But I mean, I remember going to the library and watching episodes of TOS just on the monitors, you know, the TVs at the library. So
can't believe you weren't kicked out for watching that heathenry in a public. Imagine Amok Time playing in the library and you don't know what Star Trek is.
There were other people looking at worse things on the public computers. At the library. I'll just say that.
When was the last time you went to a public library? Because I've seen worse in a university library.
That is true.
Was at a public library just a few weeks ago. It's like if you're in the work at home life, it's the best place. Because you could just go there and chill for a few hours. It's quiet and you don't have to buy anything.
And there's an atmosphere of Gene's vision, just ambient.
All around you.
You look around, you see Spock working next to you, and you realize, no, I'm not from the library. I'm on an acid trip again. Great. So that's a very sort of sweet, wholesome getting into it through, you know, bootleg VHS tapes. But was there a quit moment back then? Do you remember sitting in front of a VHS of a Star Trek episode and wishing you hadn't got it taped?
I remember being exhausted by the end of Voyager. just exhausted. That show was so long. And like Janeway, great. But there were like two good characters on that whole show. And they were just stretching that thing out. And like by the end, I was like, all right, I think we're good. I think I did it. I think I did the Star Trek thing. I watch these movies, you know, my old friends are doing, you know, movies. Then Nemesis came out and it was like, whew, they're done making movies and maybe I'm done for a minute. Enterprise came up. I was saying before we started recording, like I saw the Scott Bakula ads and I was just like, yeah, this can't be for me.
Slander is what happened before the recording, everyone.
This can't be for me.
I mean, I say that like I haven't been stuck on season 3 or 4 of Enterprise for like.
Do you skip forward? I think you skip forward to The Expanse and then got stuck again.
I'm sorry. Like they killed Trip. Why though? Oh, it's because I watched the final episode. That's why it's messed up my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the finale because everyone told me how bad it was. And now I have no motivation because I know that they messed it all up. They ruined it.
I mean, it could be worse, Olivia. The Enterprise doesn't have Neelix in it.
That is true. I honestly was tired of Voyager.
Are you about to make pro Neelix noises? Because we will have to end this recording.
No, not at all. Is he the Jar Jar Binks of Star Trek?
Yeah.
Well, Jar Jar Binks was an sex offender.
as far as we know, Jar Jar Binks was not a
as far as we know.
Jar Jar Binks is allowed near local schools.
If you look really closely, you could see that Neelix is wearing an ankle bracelet from season 2 on.
It's like, I'm just going to go down to the school and start beeping at Jeremy.
Doesn't someone make him the godfather of their child later on?
Yes, Naomi Wildman's godfather.
No, not Wildman. Oh, no.
That's a crime.
Literally.
It is literally a crime. But yeah, I mean, you know, Neelix shouldn't be allowed their kids. Worf shouldn't be allowed their kids either.
Yeah.
He takes that seriously.
Yeah, Worf knows he shouldn't be allowed their kids. It's not a legal thing. He just thinks he shouldn't be near them.
Doesn't matter if they're carried his DNA. He's like,
especially if they're carrying his DNA.
He's staying away.
So
there should have been a trigger warning for the beginning of this episode. Yeah. I didn't want to see Worf and Dax kissing. I don't want to see anything.
What? Oh, I love Worf and Dax.
He doesn't deserve her. He doesn't deserve any nice things. Sorry.
That is very true, but I still do love the two of them together. Mainly just that I love Dax and I love her having, like, being happy and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, Worf is humorless, does not deserve her whatsoever. She deserves the moon. She also deserved not to die in the way that she did. But anyways.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like Dax marrying Worf, it's like when your friend who's been single for a long time finally gets in a relationship and you really don't like the person they're with. You're kind of just happy they've got someone.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I would just have to pretend to be supportive because she's happy and she's always putting on a tough exterior. But this guy?
In the back of your mind, you know that this is like a temporary thing anyway. You're like, I'm going to make sure I'm still here, you know, out for the next one.
Yeah. I just kind of wish they had the solution they hadn't been to fucking ice Jadzia. But here we are.
That almost made me quit Star Trek. Me, like, you know, 13-year-old me at the time, I was like, I don't know if I can handle this.
I'm looking forward to the write-up of that in Berman's autobiography, which I definitely won't read.
We are going to read Berman's biography live.
We're going to do his Patreon content, guys. He pays $5 a month, and every week we'll read another chapter of his biography.
Are you looking forward to having your boycott podcasted? Or your boycott podcasted? Your podcast boycotted? I'm done.
If Berman were to boycott the podcast, the views would be going up. The ratings, 5 stars. It would be great for us.
Anyway. I wish we got more bad reviews in this podcast, so that we could do like a beach too sandy, water too wet thing where we read them all in fancy voices. That's a fun podcast. Anyway, Worf. There's no last time on DS9 been in this, but basically they've just gone and pissed about with the Dominion on some planet, and now Bartok's picked them up and they're going back to the starbase. So click and the Klingon ship with Martok and Worf on it, they're getting replacements and it's a bunch of children. Except one of the children is Worf's son.
I can't
believe it. Times like this, I remember they browned up all the Klingons.
There were some black people in there.
Yes.
Maybe, I don't know, they ran out of paint, so they said, we'll have to hire some black people this time.
There's been a run on
if we have to.
It's like, we'll hire the black people, but we're not going to hire anyone Michael Dorn doesn't like, because that ended badly last time. Michael Dorn sucks, everyone. I don't know how this isn't more common knowledge.
Why? What happened with Michael Dorn? I know Worf sucks, but what happened with Michael Dorn?
Michael Dorn was not very nice to Tony Todd. It's why they iced Kirk.
Yeah, that's a trash story. You know, when like a black person don't want to see another black person win, it was that. Anyway,
that was his whole world. He's like, I'm the king of all these white people. Like, you know,
I'm literally the only black person in the room, and I like it that way.
Right? Did he have beef with Geordi?
I don't know, but I feel like Naval Burton doesn't take shit from anyone, so probably not. Also, I guess Naval Burton had a bigger billing, especially early on in TNG. So.
He tolerated that one.
So we cut from Deadbeat Dad reunited with even deadbeatier son to Occupied DS9, where Odo and Kira are planning some resistance shit and Quark's doing his best Casablanca impression.
It's also another two people I don't want to see together. I don't want to see Jadzia and Worf. I don't want to see Kira and Odo. Well, they weren't dating yet, though, were they?
Thank you.
No, not yet.
Still. Thank you for that.
Still.
It makes no sense. Yeah.
Looking back on it, especially, it is a rough pairing all the way throughout, but especially like the next few episodes after this episode, it's just Odo in like a nonstop orgy fuck session thing while all his friends are trying to like take back DS9 and he just couldn't be bothered whatsoever.
But that makes sense.
What a great catch he is.
That, listen, how are you, like, you are a shapeshifter and you've experienced shapeshifter sex, which is that you just liquefy into a pool of all these other people around you and you become one. Like, that's crazy. And he's looking over at Kira like, oh, please, like, I really, and just walking around. I'm like, what?
Are you saying that we should be elevating liquefied sex? Was that?
Normally, I don't kick the name of the podcast, but I'm making it.
I'm saying I'd try it.
He spent season after season pining after Kira, and he abandons her for a hot tub of Jello. Okay, fuck that guy.
Apparently, it was a really hot.
A hot tub of Nazi Jello.
Exactly.
Jello is singing the horse vessel line. It's not just any Jello. Yeah, so, and then of course we have to deal with Dippy Hydrick himself, Olivia's favourite person.
You didn't warn me that the Diplodocus was going to be in this episode, okay?
I didn't know.
The sauropod slut, the Diplodocus. I hate this guy, okay? But anyway, he's with Xiao. Like, honestly, also, I did find though that Xiao was kind of more annoying than I remember.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, this whole episode is like, mommy and daddy, please stop fighting and get back together again. And just incredibly naive and incredibly, like, also, like, at one point, kind of manipulative with Kira to get her to come to the dinner and all that. It's like, why?
Daddy tried to kill all of mommy's race a few weeks ago, a few years ago, but like, it's a lot to get over.
They're trying to do the whole Vial is innocent and not understanding everything when it's already been established that Vial is a near adult who understands very well the politics of who her father is.
Yeah.
Like, she's not innocent. She grew up in a Breen prison camp where the Cardassians she was with told her that if her father found her, she'd get murked. She knows what's up.
And that was his plan. He was going there to murk her.
And even within the text of the episode, she's like, yeah, I know why the Bajorans hate. It's not my fault, but I know why they hate me.
I'm sorry, but you should not be at that university. I didn't realize she was at a Bajoran university.
Well, Kira sent her there.
It's too soon. Like, okay,
but she's half. I mean, she's half Bajoran. Oh, yeah, don't be horrible. This is not. You know, don't be mean to me.
I forgot she was half Bajoran. I forgot that.
There's the ridges.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Olivia. And I've just. Of course, they're going to look at you in the corridors. You tried to kill them all. Anyway, next.
Jesus. Anyway, so it turns out that the Martok's ship is doing patrol duty to Donatu 5, which Donatu 5 is the other side of the Federation from Cardassia. I'll do that.
Where is that?
It's the other side. I'm having a map thing.
We should have a map talk drop.
We have a ship talk drop. I found it recently. So Martok asks, it's like, so you have a son? And Worf's like, yes. He's like, why didn't you tell me? You know, I know where you keep your toenail clippings. Why didn't you tell me you had a son, basically? And Worf just kind of shrugs his shoulders.
What I love is that, like, in that whole conversation is absolutely great. Like, Worf is like, it's a difficult subject to discuss, whatever. And then he explains what happened with Alexander's mom. And Martok is like, oh, that makes sense. You let her raise him. That totally makes sense. Never mind. And he's like, well,
no,
actually,
it gets worse. She died, and then I abandoned him.
And it's not even like he doesn't explain how she died. She died during an attempted coup d'etat by Duras.
Oh, is that right. How she died?
Yeah.
Duras fucking stabbed her.
Oh, so it's traumatic. It's even more traumatic for little baby Alex.
Yeah.
She was half Klingon, half human.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kayla,
why did she hate Klingon culture so much?
She's not like one of those other Negroes.
Not like the others.
Not like the others.
all the hooted and hollered and carried on. Trying to be respectful. She
pulled a Bernadine Everestone.
I mean, I think Kayla does give her reason. I think it's just basically that her dad sucked.
Listen. We'll get into the racial politics of this, I'm sure. But this is why I've always had a little soft spot for Worf. Like, A, because it was just him and Geordi out there. Like, until DS9 came around, like, there just weren't Black characters. And I'm like, come on, guy. And the writing is what they do to Worf throughout the entire, like, his whole character arc is wild. Just wild, the way that they write that character.
Well, it's that they don't really know what to do with him in like half of TNG. And then once they figure out what to do with him, it sucks. And then they dump him on DS9 and they don't know what to do with him there either.
Those writers turned him into a weird fascist, like on Risa and stuff. Like they made him completely irredeemable on
this
DS9.
This is why I can't support the relationship. The way he reacted with her on Risa, that's all I see flashing from my mind when they're kissing, having their fun little times. No, he was he was a dick.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I had like a decade of Worf history like built up before that. And then I just like, I did what Worf did with his kid and I just ignored that it ever happened. Just pretended like it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Justified
about the writers are the writers, but it's all the sort of things that you realize that Worf is like that because Michael Dorn played him like this.
Mm. Which is also...
Where are his kids, huh? Let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, I feel like, what is Michael Dorn's relationship with his kids like?
Let's become like TMZ style podcasting.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean... It's well known that Michael Dorn isn't the easiest person to work with, but and sometimes it's like there's obviously a tinge of racism in that, but also he just kind of sucks.
I feel so bad that I hadn't even heard any of this about Michael Dorn, but
we're blacklisted from Star Trek for saying this. It's over for us.
Sorry. Are you sure we won't? Are you sure we haven't been blacklisted by the number of times we called Rick Berman a piece of shit?
That's just like. You know, that's the vibe for the entire fandom. We're speaking the people.
And I think that's like, honestly, on the scale of things that you could say, I think that's like on the tamer side of things.
Yeah.
I mean, we called Neelix a nonce. That's not great.
Mm.
we've been, I don't know, I feel like, yeah, I feel like we could get away with being mean to Michael Dorn. He doesn't work for them anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry, my internet cut out, so I don't know what was just said.
We're being mean to Michael Dorn, it's fine. Anyway, so yeah, Worf then meets with Alexander and he just sucks. He's just mean to him. He's not even trying.
Yeah, no, no apologetic, nothing apologetic about the way he interacts with him. He's worse, if anything. And then he kind of confirms that later on, where he's like, oh, I'm going to be like twice as bad on you or hard on you than anyone else. I'm like, you haven't been around. For you to be saying you're going to be double on anyone, the audacity, relax.
Yeah.
You even guided him through life.
Yeah, it's... I mean, why is Alexander even here?
Well,
it's never really explained.
It's private, John. Don't pry, okay? This is a private matter.
Oh, fuck off.
I mean, honestly,
I'm the audience. I got enough.
He was so just there just so he could, like, he had some really great lines that he said to Worf. And I think, like, that's, I don't know. I feel like there's easier ways to say your dad ain't shit versus signing up for a Klingon ship in the middle of a war.
That's a choice. Worf's encrypted his line. Like for 5 years, they haven't spoken, they say. And it's like, they don't have to be in the same place to speak. Like, we have FaceTime. You know what I mean? Like, they could have talked. They could have been
talking this whole time.
Like, Worf has no socials. Worf has gone completely dark. There's no way to talk to Worf.
Worf's Twitter account is actually run by an intern. Like, he's not like doing anything. He's not a politician, but he's hired a person to run a Twitter account for him.
Yes.
Just to screen out messages from his son.
Yeah. It's
just Klingon propaganda.
The great thing about this is that this also implies that he hasn't talked to his foster parents in that long. I feel like they would have said
that is true.
Oh, it's really funny. Every time he calls them and they mention Alexander, he just ends the call.
Oh, like, hey.
Oh, Alexander.
Oh, my signal is bad. I gotta disconnect.
Sorry, Mom, we're going through a tunnel. Aren't you on a space station?
He's a shit father.
Yeah, he's a terrible father. And, you know, there is definitely an element of there's an element of, did they not think about giving the black character, did they not think about making... The politics of making a character played by a black man a deadbeat dad.
And the aliens coded to be black to be...
I mean, I have to imagine that that was intentional, or at least it was definitely on their minds, given I'm going to assume the demographics of the writing room for DS9.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, the Klingons are repeatedly used to display black stereotypes, but they had Sisko there, like a pinnacle of virtue. They had to really balance it out for the people, you know?
And it doesn't help that the subtext of the Klingons being written as a black stereotype is a post facto thing. They're still being written at this point as pseudo samurai, which is on the spectrum of terrible things, is a step higher than TOS Yellow Peril shit.
Yes.
So I was thinking of the Voyager episode now. I think about it when I black stereotypes of the Klingons.
Which one?
Oh, the one Faces? Where it's like, no, it's the one where who's
Kawana,
kid
like talks to the it's like Bawana's dad or something.
The doctor has his like family, and then the kid is like influenced by the Klingons.
Oh yeah.
So, like, and they have like the bad hair and the bad music, and then he has a knife or something at some point. It gets very
oh, I know which one you strange. Mean. Yeah.
But basically his kid is being influenced by these dastardly
Klingons. Yeah, that one, yeah, there. But I think that's because we know why the Voyager writers might, because it was Rick Berman's special Funtime show. And what else have we got? Alexander gets beaten up. That was quite fun.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Worf should have let him die.
You know what? He definitely thought about it. I guarantee he definitely thought about it. Like, I read the script when I'm watching the episodes, like prepping for a podcast, and there was a line where Alexander was like slams his knife down on the table and is like, you know, let's go. And Alexander said, if you want me off this ship, you're going to have to kill me. And Worf in the script says, do not tempt me. And they took that out of the actual show, but like he would kill Alexander.
I mean, listen, Alex, I'm on your team, but you were kind of ungrateful for that very necessary save. You were going to go down.
Yes. I think Worf might have walked by the door to that room like three times before he actually walked in. He was just like taking a look, like, oh, all right, I'm gonna go do this. Can we say, like, with all acknowledgement that Worf is awful and there's no redeeming quality to his fatherhood or anything, can we still say that Alexander kind of sucks?
Oh yeah, no, Alexander.
Like, the whole way through, Alexander sucks.
He's nine. Let's just remember. Well, I mean, he's a baby.
In Klingon terms, he's like 18, 19.
Okay, but he has had a lot of trauma. You know what? A lot of people in this episode need to go to therapy. I mean, everyone. All of them need to, actually.
I can't talk about it enough how much, especially the characters on DS9, like the fact that a counselor didn't show up until season 7 was definitely an oversight on Captain Sisko's part to not staff correctly.
The only person in this episode who did go to therapy was Worf.
Ew, when?
He then shagged her, remember?
What's that? Who was remember? That?
It was Diana Troy.
Oh.
But he did it at alternate
reality. Also Ezri.
It wasn't on this timeline.
No, oh yeah, he did. Timeline. It was for the rest of season 7.
Technically also Ezri, I think, too, right?
Yeah,
Ezri. Yeah, but that was after.
That was after, yes. Yeah. And Alexander technically went to therapy, too.
Yeah, but he didn't shag her, so it's not funny.
Deanna Troy is the worst counselor in the galaxy. Like, for sure. Like, Whoopi, like, the bartender on the Enterprise is solving everybody's problems. She's walking in the room, like, first thing, like, she knows exactly what to do. Deanna's like, I read your mind. You seem sad.
Listen,
like, it's got nothing to do.
You know what? There is definitely a scale of good and bad therapists. Whoopi, Guinan is a great therapist. Troy just is charging people week to week so that she can buy herself a new car. Like, that's what she's doing. She's just getting her new sports car, getting a sailboat, whatever the fuck her thing is.
She was a victim to
Berman's inability to write or produce for women, okay?
I don't think inability is the right word. I think it's dogmatic refusal to write women. Yeah. And, I think he could if he wanted to, but he chooses not to.
He has a clear contempt for women. Like, he's... So it's not even like an inability. Like, he thinks like very poorly of women. Like, it's not like Marina Sirtis's fault. I'm just saying that the actual, you know, in the world, she's not the best at her job.
Yeah. I mean, how often do we even see her do anything successfully? She's mostly just getting violated.
when she's
starring an episode, she's being attacked in some way.
At all times, it's so bad.
Like, I just was watching the TNG episode where the Romulans kidnap her, like the resistance movement, and, like, you know, alter her features to look like a Romulan and all that, and she's supposed to be a member of the Tal Shiar. She was still fucking abducted. Like, they fucking abducted her. It was a great episode, and she had a lot of fun stuff to do, but she was still fucking abducted, and she's going to have to sort that shit out later.
Tom Clancy novel's going to run a Tom Clancy novel. It's going to be. It's a good episode. Where were we? So the owl basically manipulates Kieran to going to dinner with Ducat, which is weird, but it's fine because she's good at art now, and people want to put her art on display. Ducat and Kira have the sort of same reaction to it that divorced parents have when their kid graduates. They're happy for the kid, but they want nothing to do with each other.
I hate that, like, he forced this, like, parent relationship. Like, obviously, everything he does for Xiao is to get Kira's attention. He does not care about that child at all. You cannot tell me he gives a shit about that child. He does not. And he is the reason that she dies a little later on.
Well, yeah. He just desperately wants to be liked. And he is a perfect asshole. Like, top Star Trek villain, just because he is such consistently shitty, such consistent, like, douchebag, asshole, all of those things, just nonstop, everything that he does. The scene when he is like presenting whatever to the Bajorans and Cardassians at the table, that dude just loves hearing himself talk and is so fucking, he gets off on it or whatever.
I need Kira to just take Xiao's face in her hands and say, even you can't fix this Nazi bitch. I'm sorry, like, you can't fix him either. Let go. Let's both let go. Let's put him out the airlock or something. Like, I don't, why is he there?
You know, there's two reasons that Goldacott works as a character. The first one is the writers don't decide he's going to be evil and stay evil till season four.
Mm-hmm.
And a second is that Mark Alamo thinks he's good.
Yeah.
If Mark Alamo didn't think Ducat was a good person, I don't think he'd be as good a villain.
And Mark thinks he's good, like, up until the end. Like,
he still
like,
does.
It's still a tragedy. Like, you, like, started a cult and raped a woman in the last season, bro. How is it's weird. It's a weird defense.
Like, watching the What We Left Behind documentary and just seeing that, oh, he was just playing himself for seven seasons, just in makeup. It's like, oh, okay, so that's how it worked.
Oh, you're just certifiable. Great, yeah.
Yeah, great. And you are a very creep around women. Got it.
Yeah.
He's a sicko. And that's what, so who, oh my God, I'm forgetting his real name. Avery Brooks. And that's why Avery Brooks punched you in the face.
And did Avery Brooks punch him in the face again?
He punched him in the face when they were recording.
Oh, but yeah, when they were... Like,
accidentally on purpose. It's in the documentary, which I refuse to watch because I don't want to let the DS9 go.
It's a good documentary. I've seen
the clip. Back to Deadbeat Dad universe. So then Alexander accidentally mistakes a training program for an actual Dominion battleship, and now he's the class clown, and which sucks.
That one was embarrassing, Alex.
That was again. Embarrassing. Yeah,
was,
Alex.
Take the L.
That was a tough one. I know why you now hate me now. You just suck.
You suck. You're bad at your job.
Come on. So then Worf trains him and doesn't train him. He just is a dick to him. And then Worf's like, you know, if you keep fighting like that, you're going to die. And I kind of like, maybe you want that. I'm like, ah, wow. Worf does suck.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay. The line was like, then I'll be dead and you will be happy. Now leave me alone. Like, Alexander's right.
Yeah.
Worf would be so happy.
It wouldn't affect his lifestyle.
No, not at all.
So whiny, that kid.
I mean, but is he wrong?
So whiny that he got abandoned.
He's whiny, but is he wrong?
He needs to move on with his life. Like, this is it's clear that this isn't a thing. You know what I mean?
He's nine.
Yeah, if he's nine and that translates to even 18, that's still early to get over it. You know, he's figuring out himself as an adult.
The solution to daddy issues is not join the Navy.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, Malcolm Reed would disagree with you, so.
Anyway. What if he was, I'm just being reminded of the Austin Powers song, Daddy Wasn't There.
Oh no, sing it.
Oh God. No, I'm not gonna sing it.
But you brought it up.
Matthew, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, you gotta sing it first, you coward.
Oh, you fucking asshole. Oh my God.
Thank you, Matthew. You gotta sing it now.
No, I'm not going to.
You gotta.
No.
We will not edit it out.
That I am not singing it. I don't even remember the lyrics and how it goes. I just know Daddy Wasn't There was the line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Thanks, Matthew. I appreciate you. Love you too.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. So while Worf is being terrible to his son, Damar gives Kira a dress, and Kira's like, oh no, I'm collaborating again. Because this is the second time she didn't collaborate.
God damn it. Why do we keep doing this?
Why do we do this?
It's like Casablanca, but shit.
And I knew invite, it was going to be sexual, okay? I knew something weird was going to go down. I assumed he was going to be on the bed lying down with rose petals around him. Like, hey, let's talk about the art.
And just the chest plate on, nothing else.
Hair down, flowing.
I like the way where he's like, is the dress okay? And she goes, the dress is fine. I don't like you.
You got it, Kira.
The audacity of the men in this episode was incredible.
I mean, my question after that scene was, I didn't realize that Kira and Zial were the same size.
I had some questions about that I didn't feel was appropriate for me to ask.
Oh yeah. Oh, because he gives her the dress, which is
weird. Yeah, he's just like, oh, I have this dress, I'm just gonna.
He got this sexy dress for his wannabe girlfriend, and then he's like, "Here, daughter, you take it." And then he's like upset, like he's like, such a good guy. He's like, I try.
I imagine Garrick making this dress like, okay, we'll see how this goes. See how it's just out there.
And then he sees the owl in it. He's just like,
oh.
That whole relationship, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
The Garrick and Zial thing.
Oh, well, that was, again.
Yeah, well, even Alexander, even, what's his name? Is it Alexander Robinson?
No.
Andrew Robinson. Even Andrew Robinson's like, that was suck.
Well, oh, really?
It was because Garrick was too gay. That was literally the only reason. They were like, we need to give him a girlfriend. Let's give him a 12-year-old.
Have you got a character who is obviously homosexual? Give them a teenage girlfriend. That'll help.
Yeah.
Especially in
that's
the
90s. That's more family values to be that's dating an underage girl.
They're like, Bashir is otherwise engaged right now. We got to get somebody for Garrick.
You know, I mean, basically, the funny one is that our man Bashir came out and they went, it's too fruity, you guys are done, basically. They were like, no, you guys are done now. You can't do this anymore. This is too gay.
It was gay from the beginning. And I appreciate Andrew just like, no, he's a gay spy. And I'm just going to play him as a gay spy from my first episode. And yeah, I love Garrick.
They had the best chemistry of any couple in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, we never see them again.
Hmm.
So then, basically, Martok goes and bullies Alexander.
Yeah, he gets grilled.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel bad for him again. I changed my mind.
No, don't.
I feel like Martok had, like, this dude's got 5 replacements for 15 spots. Mm-hmm. One of whom was just up there being like, hey, we're under attack. And it was, like, a video game that he had left up on the screen. And the kid's 4 feet tall. And it's got some like serious issues with dad. And it's just like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you here? The kid can't like answer it. I feel, you know, this is a wartime vessel. I feel like it's appropriate to ask a few questions.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here, guy?
Especially because, you know, they aren't conscripts. Yeah, there's no Klingon draft. Well, there's no Klingon, there's no in-text Klingon draft. The Klingons definitely have a draft, but
yeah.
Like, you're taking the spot of somebody who might be able to fight, and...
But can they get anyone else? I just assume that they can't get anyone else.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing, yeah.
Really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
John, you know about war. How often would they actually just get rid of someone because they're shit? Like, weren't we all desperate? We just needed whoever's there.
Oh, yeah, actually, especially in a small ship, you might captains have the problem to get rid of somebody if they think they're on the mind unit cohesion.
You can send them on a suicide mission.
That's cheating. Right.
They're the first ones over the top.
You can't send people in suicide missions in triplicate. You know, you got to make, there's lots of forms for that. But yeah, it happened that if people were dodgy, you get sent away from unit.
Wow.
But in the Navy, don't go on the night watch. You know, you might end up not in a boat anymore.
Yeah.
But intended not to happen. But I can see Martok getting rid of him as he does.
Star Trek is valid, is what you're saying. Gosh,
unfortunately,
no credibility for that.
Unfortunately, Star Trek was right, and then we'll have to live with that suffering pain. Anyway, so eventually there's this battle, and then Alexander and the guy who tried to beat him up go to try and save the day, and unfortunately they do, and Worf says he's no longer going to be a deadbeat. Maybe. We're not going to see it on screen.
Okay. See, the thing is, he doesn't fucking apologize, Worf. He says, I cannot change the mistakes I have made. That's as close to apologizing to Alexander that he got. No, I'm sorry. No, I should have been there. Just, I can't change the mistakes I made.
Does Worf ever say I'm sorry in Star Trek?
Didn't even become mildly apologetic.
Do Klingons ever say sorry?
Do they have a word for sorry? I didn't see any redeeming arc happening, and then by the end of the episode, it's like, oh, that was supposed to be wholesome, I guess.
Right,
wasn't.
But look, we don't get to see Worf be a good dad. We're just told he's going to be.
No, we see the moment they try to tell us he's a good dad, and I'm not saying that this makes him a good dad at all. But so they go to the two go to save the day, and they do save the day, except Alexander still is a spaz and locks himself in that room. And they gotta like rescue him again. And then everyone's like laughing at him again. And Worf goes and puts his hand on his shoulder like, I'm not too ashamed to acknowledge your existence anymore, son. And that's what we're supposed to stand with applause.
I'm slightly less disappointed in you.
I hate these rights.
That was a great like 80s, 90s. Aw. And then like there would be like some happy music playing in the background or whatever.
Yeah. Very good. We could have done a
freeze frame right there. Like, oh
yeah,
man,
look at this. Roll the credits. Yeah.
Is it this guy is such a great dad that he now acknowledges his son's existence?
You know, this is based on a 1950 John Wayne cowboy film where Dixie is played. And that has a better showing of a good dad. It's a John Wayne film. Professional piece of shit, John Wayne was a better dad than Worf.
Awesome story of child neglect. Let's not be harsh.
Everybody ready for the trivia?
Hell yeah.
So, as I said, this is based on a John Wayne film called Rio Grande, about a fort commander in the Old West who discovers that one of his new recruits is his son, who hates him, but they have to learn to work together. But they actually do in the film, unlike this, where they don't.
But in the film, they don't. Nothing happens.
No, in the film, they show him becoming a good dad.
Oh, right.
This is John Wayne. I'm not going to watch it.
They killed Native Americans together, like in...
Yeah, and then they play Dixie
as a bonding experience.
God. Yeah, they have a bonding. They literally have a bonding experience murdering Apaches.
that sounds about right.
That's 1950 for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, the reason Alexander is so old is because of the union laws around how long actors under 18 can be kept on set. Because if you take those laws, add in putting actors in makeup. It would turn out that an under 18 could only be on set for like a couple of hours a day. And the producers were also like, yeah, we've got to make Alexander old, so if Worf treats him like shit, it's not child abuse.
The content is that bad. We can't subject an actual child to this. They can't see even a snapshot of Worf's life.
Yeah. And if you want some weird shit, there was a cut scene where Kira and Ducat are talking about shit, about the art event, and Ducat's like, if you won't go, I'll send her with Damar. And Kira's like, you can't send Damar. He sneers whenever he says the word Bajoran. And then Damar would come in the room to give a report. And every time he said the word Bajoran, he would sneer.
Okay.
And then after he left, Kira and Ducat would break down laughing.
That was very weird. I thought that was going in a different direction, but
yeah.
Still terrible.
Yeah, I saw that in the script too. And it like, I think it's not necessarily needed, but it does kind of set up when Damar stops by with the dress and her like, what the hell am I doing right now? Like that was following that scene where, you know, Ducat and Kira are laughing. So it kind of makes sense that she was even further fraternizing that word with the enemy. And, but it's still.
Also, that would have been a very funny scene.
Why did they do that to her? Like, and then she does all this, and then she has to date the other fascist enabler, at least.
Why? I mean, once again, Odo is a Vichy policeman, which is fascist adjacent and not actually.
Enabler. But
yeah, Odo
she's
is...
supposed to be such a strong person. Why do they keep doing this to her? It's such a contrast to what they presented us with.
Well, it's very realistic in the sense that in the real world, a lot of very smart people are also very stupid. Case in point, myself.
I don't want to speak ill of Kira.
I think she speaks ill of herself enough, unfortunately.
It's one of the ways that DS9, the sort of complicated, convoluted writing around DS9 helps it, is that characters are nuanced and do stupid things and regret it in the future.
I'd rather you go back to the boring one. What was his name? Her boring boyfriend that was so boring.
Vedic Barile.
Barile.
Barile, cardboard priest guy.
Yeah, go back to him.
You know, I don't understand how DS9 managed to write every single, like, all of Kira's boyfriends to be deeply boring.
So they were too scared to give her a girlfriend.
She's always,
there we go.
You know, like the most powerful man, you know?
She is a starfucker. Yeah.
You know?
Is Odo a Stark? Sorry.
He's technically a god. If you ask the Vorta, he's a god.
Okay, I'm sorry, but fucking Odo has to take down your star fucker status by like 10 points.
I mean, I think it does, but she still has a Vedic. She still has the ruler of Bajor. I don't remember what his title was, like president or
first
there
minister.
We go.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't get out very often.
Okay, so she's a girl boss. Okay,
yeah. Yeah, we'll anyway, so yeah, that's the trivia. This is shit. I'm quitting.
Let me just think.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I'm just gonna hold you a picture of Golden Cat up. I don't have an actual one, so just imagine.
What?
You're quitting the same way that Worf is quitting as a father.
Yes. Oh no, I'm doing it with dignity. I have dignity and self-respect. Worf doesn't.
You're gonna actually call up Star Trek and be like, hi, I'm quitting. That's it.
Listen, people who write for Star Trek know this podcast exists, so we've already done that. So.
Yeah, terrifyingly aware.
They're terrifyingly aware. We get messages from them. It's concerning.
Oh my.
I was trying to really think hard about something that's redeemable about this episode. I really was trying to at least have some balance.
I mean, do you like Zial's paintings?
Those were bad as well. Sorry. I only, watching it now, see that they are actually trash.
They were. Was like one like a fucking palm tree or something, and that was about
it. She has like she's sort of a line art style, and I was like, you're not good. I think your dad paid for you to get in.
Specifically Kira paid for her to get in, which is even funnier.
Oh gosh.
She called it a favor with her ex-boyfriend who's first minister, but can you know, do a thing?
They got her into that little art show just because they didn't want to get firebombed by Dukat. Like, it's not, she didn't get in by merit.
100%. Either that or the entire approval board was Vorta and they were just fascinated.
I'm imagining it's all these Vorta wearing like fake Cardassian headdresses, and it's like, it's really weird. The art board seemed to have all been look very different, and Dukat kind of shifts uncomfortably in his chair.
I don't know. I mean, my biggest takeaways, the only thing, like the things that make me like this episode, is whenever Martok is on screen, I'm always reminded that he should have played Captain Hook at some point in time, because he's basically just playing Captain Hook on Star Trek, which I love. And then I'm going to try a second movie reference to see if I fail this time, but they did a Top Gun maneuver. Anyone?
Bueller? Oh yeah, they did the
pop. Bueller? Yeah. Okay, good. Thank God.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I've not seen Top Gun, but I know what you're talking about.
Oh God.
When they hit the brakes, they're going to fly right by.
Yeah, I crashed and burned, which is also a reference to that movie.
Yeah. I don't watch
anything with a pilot.
You like war stuff?
Yeah, but yeah. Tom Cruise's not war stuff. It's just Tom Cruise strutting around pretending he's 6'3". I've seen him in real life. I can put him in my pocket.
Like Alexander.
He's actually that tall. He's so small. He's small and a Scientologist. The worst combination.
I always like the way that Dukat does Damar, because Damar is just a bag man, but Damar thinks that he's like hot shit. He's like, yeah, I'm second in charge and blah blah blah, but in reality he's just like delivering dresses
to someone
who Dukat's like, you know, stalking. And then when Dukat disappears and Damar's in charge for whatever reason, the Vorta just openly disrespect him at all. Like, Wayun is just like, why am I talking to you? You're a nobody. Damar just has to sit there and eat that shit.
Have either of you two watched MASH?
John's just started watching MASH, everyone.
I'm enjoying it.
I've seen on Twitter, MASH and Smash.
And I won't make the fight. I won't do the thing, but anyway.
No,
so,
do it.
No, I refuse now. So we're all quitting. I will put that in. We have a spreadsheet.
We have real
that's
stats.
What I do for our podcast too. Well, it's just a Google Doc, but
and now Olivia, would you like to introduce the trip nip section? You don't have a choice, you have to.
The trip nip scale is the bane of my life, and it has haunted me for many episodes, but essentially it's based on the Star Trek Enterprise episode Unexpected, where Trip becomes pregnant and he gets nipples all along his wrists. Yes. Yes, that is correct. And there's obviously cursed. So our scalers, if you have 10 trip nips, you give the episode 10 trip nips. It's ridiculous. It's terrible. It's the worst thing we've ever seen. Zero, that's the perfect amount of nipples. You only need two.
So it's 10 is bad?
10 is bad. 10 is unbelievably cursed.
I mean, you don't want, do you want 10 nipples, Josh? Do you want?
I don't know. I mean, I could consider it.
They're on your wrists.
Oh, that does seem like that.
Yeah, they're not. They're not. They're not convenient.
If you're wearing sleeves, then it just that seems like that could be a problem.
Issue.
And everyone knows that you fucked a random alien. Actually, it's worse than that, and it's more complicated than that. But
you know what? Actually, that's the reason for you guys to watch Enterprise. Because
I was gonna say I can't believe that I've missed out on this for my whole
quality
life,
content, and it's like episode 2.
I have to imagine, given the time period that they did. They handled gender stuff deftly, I'm sure.
It was somehow worse than TNG handles.
Oh, because Berman had way more control, right? This is I thought this was the Berman Trek. This is the most Berman Trek, right?
It is the most Berman Trek. It's the most Berman Trek because they're also very tight. Yeah. They did M-Preg after 4 episodes, guys. They did the pilot, the 2-parter, an episode, and then they did M-Preg. Not even anime does M-Preg that early.
Wow. It's not kink shaming, but wow.
Anyway, so on a level of 1 to 10 of cursedness, Olivia, how many nipples?
I'm more angry than cursed. I'm angry that I had to see the Diplodocus. I'm angry that I had to win this war. So I'm going to give it 6 for cursedness. It's more just actually annoying than that.
No?
I mean, yeah, I guess 6 is fine. I mean, yeah, I don't necessarily see it's cursed, but there definitely isn't much to redeem it either.
All right.
So
the dress scene was pretty cursed.
The dress scene was cursed. Yeah.
7.5.
7.5. Hold on, I need to go back and change that. Matthew?
Can you have an odd number of nipples? Is this a possibility?
Yeah.
Do we have to go in pairs?
You can fraction.
No, you can have an odd number of nipples. You can have fractions of nipples. It's an Excel document. It'll sort it.
I'm gonna go with 7 nipples, and I think that the Dukat Kira Zial stuff is extremely cursed. That's like a 10 curse. The Worf stuff I thought was funny in how like it was bad. It was so bad that it was just kind of comical. They did a roasting session of Alexander around the dinner table, where they're just like, basically like, you know, you've never eaten grits. Like you don't know anything. You have no idea how to make an Incredible Hulk. Like you don't know anything. And he's just sitting there like trying to be like, no, I'm fine.
Aww.
That was fun to me. And there was also just Worf wallowing in his self-hatred, which is turned on to his son.
Where, like,
he really didn't have a chance. Everyone in his life kind of hated themselves.
Yeah, he like Worf hates himself so much. He hates, like, he's got such identity issues being raised with the whites, and then is trying to like go over, and like that's why he's like embracing tradition so hard, and his kids looking at
him doing it.
Yeah, he's doing too much because all the Klingons are looking at him like, yo, why don't you like get in on this blood wine and have a good time, and Worf is just being a tight ass for no reason. Like, it's just, there's a lot going on with him, so I'm going to stick with the 7. I think that Dukat is 10 times cursed. Dukat's got 10 nipples on his neck.
Dukat breaks the scale.
Yeah, one day we'll do a Gold Dukat episode of this podcast. It will just consist of Olivia screaming.
It's just me making various dinosaur-related puns that insult him.
Nice.
I'm going to give it 6. Just because I don't think it... I think it's just kind of dumb. And a bit grim and a half-assed instead of cursed, but the dress stuff is fucking weird.
It was a weird insight into... I don't even know if it's how Dukat views women. It's just how Dukat views anyone that's not him.
Mm. You see, there are some men who simply don't like women. I just think Dukat doesn't think they're sentient.
I don't think Dukat thinks anyone outside of his existence is...
Right, exactly.
It's complex or things.
Yeah,
you know, I think he's a narcissist. He's
The thought experiments where like everything is a simulation outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Dukat believes that, but he thinks it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that means everything he does is important.
So Dukat,
main character.
Dukat is sitting there with Kira, who has been very clear on a number of occasions that she hates this, that she hates you. And she doesn't hate you because like your breath stinks or you've got like bad politics. She's like, she hates you because you've murdered and raped like her world for decades at a time. And she's expressed her hatred in bombs and phasers. Like there's no, there's zero ambiguity about what's going on. And then Zial's around and he just sits down like, hey, so you want to grab like a drink or what? Like, I don't, does he not like in his head, does he know this person hates me and I'm like doing this weird manipulative thing? Or does he completely forget like anything else?
Is I'm he, telling like, you, I don't, he thinks he's in a goddamn rom-com. He thinks every time they meet, it's a meet cute moment and it's about to go down for him.
This guy's such a sicko. I don't understand what's in this dude's head.
Well, he's had the mother. How hard can it be to get the girl?
Oh my god.
When they did that, that's like a couple seasons later, right? Like that was deranged. I don't know what those
part of that was. That Ducat just sends her like he just DMs her around. It's like, hi, by the way, I fucked your mom. He even gave me the promise. He's like, I fucked your mom. Ta-ra.
Because that, like, retroactively, that makes this interaction, he knows that he fucked her mom, and he's just like, he's trying to check off like the card, like he's just trying to complete the family abuse. Like, I don't, what a sicko. Wow,
he's a sicko. Yeah,
the worst person in this.
Well, not as bad as Mark Alamo, who at least because isn't real. Mark Alamo is real.
Yeah, that's
he is a real life menace.
He is a real life person.
He's an actual sex pest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I don't know
if so anyway, the Tripner score rounds out to a nice perfect 6.625.
Mm.
It's like a bit the weird lump on your
there's a quarter nipple.
Well, two-thirds of a nipple.
It's fine.
Gross. Yeah.
And while I contemplate the two-thirds of a nipple on Ducat's neck, you guys have a podcast to plug, I believe.
Yeah, so we're starting a podcast, a DS9 recap podcast called Terak Noir. That's N-O-I-R. So we're in the process of getting it launched. We just have a couple final production things to get sorted out, and then we will be doing episodes, and hopefully weekly of every episode for the next few years.
You're gonna and go through that Ducat gets insane scale.
Yeah, and honestly, it's just we're just waiting for Cisco to grow his goatee and get promoted to captain, and then it is on.
Bald goatee Cisco is a whole different thing. But the podcast is on all the platforms, so you can subscribe already. We just haven't loaded an episode yet. That'll come soon.
Yep. And on Twitter, we're at Terak Noir. Noir.
They're doing this is an audio format. They're doing a sort of thing. I don't know.
When we get a Patreon, maybe you'll see.
So yeah, that's great. Looking forward to it. Hopefully we get to come on and be terrible on your podcast.
Ooh. Okay.
Cat slander. That's my speciality.
We'll be ready.
we'll be ready for the Ducat screaming.
Excellent. And if you want to find us, you can find us at Quit Star Trek Pod on Twitter. Just realize this is the last podcast before Mission Chicago. So if you're going, please wear our merch. Please tell people why you have a shirt that says Trip Nips on it. Explain in detail, point us to our podcast. Please take photographs of Star Trek actors in our shirts. I don't know if you see Rick Berman call a piece of shit from us.
I see Berman. It's on site. That's a joke. I would never threaten anyone.
I never threaten a real person. Fake people, however. I'm coming for you, Worf.
But I have seen a few people saying, hey, I've got a shirt for mission, so that's awesome. Thank you.
That's so cool. Thank you guys for buying our merch, because it all goes to the Trevor Project LGBT youth charity. Keep buying them so we can give them more money. Go to the T Public store. We got this new design. I'll do some new ones over Easter. But otherwise, you can also send us an email at iquitstartrek@gmail.com. We don't read them.
I just realized I haven't looked.
We haven't. Yeah.
You treat your emails like Worf treats his son.
We don't.
That's valid.
I think we think about I think we think about a Reeve Oswald, the war thinks about his son.
Yeah, that's at least. Or DM us.
Or DM us. Again, at Quit Star Trek Pod on Twitter. But until next time, thank you very much for coming on, Joe and Matthew. It's been a real pleasure. And in future, kids, don't be a deadbeat dad. I guess.
Yes. I'd like to think that we as a podcast have prevented that for you.
We're an anti-deadbeat dad podcast. And we want our listeners to remain so as well. Love you, kids. I don't know. Bye, everyone.